Amen. My goodness. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can come together and worship you. And truly, you are holy, and we all cry holy unto you and glory to you. And we're just thankful to you for your goodness and your love. Thankful that you've touched us, brought us to know you. We just thank you for that. And so, God, we praise you. We just give you this service and pray you show yourself, that you open each heart to hear from your word, and just would really meet people, everyone, where they are. And I just pray you'd anoint me. I just speak things of the Spirit and communicate the truth of your word. And so, Lord, we truly do give this time to you, and we truly do gather in your name, and we gather to honor you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Turn, if you will, this morning to John chapter 11. We're going to start off with verses 25 and 26. So John chapter 11, 25 through 26. As you know, we're moving through the book of John, and Jesus is making quite a splash now. He's, you know, the people he are talking to, and, you know, are really, truly being amazed, you know, at him and who he is. And we have a verse here, and this we have him speaking this verse and actually saying it to Martha. But listen to this. And I put a couple of, if you'll notice when you read this verse, I put in quotations to clarify what's being said here. So pay close attention to that also, because this is really powerful and would, you know, take a lot of time. We just said about we are to meditate on this. What is going on? What is he really telling us? What is he telling us here? What is Jesus telling us? And so it says here, John 11, verse 25, said, Jesus said to her, I am the existing God, the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, just shedding his body, yet he will continue to live. And thus, everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. And all God's people said, Lord, what he just said, what he just said there. You know, I mean, you end up, it's like, you believe and you trust in me, you will never die. Jesus said, you will never die. That's his view of who it is. And so you see the two things here where he says, though he die, well, what he's saying, well, you shed your body, you know. And it says, though you shed your body, yet you continue to live. You continue to live. And thus, everyone who lives and believes shall never die. That's powerful. That is really, really powerful. So Jesus, the I am, the self-existing one, is the resurrection. Because he's saying, I am the resurrection. He's making the point. I am the resurrection. I am the existing God, and I am the resurrection. And the one who believes in Christ has eternal life that transcends physical life. Transcends physical life. There's something there. And thus, we will never die because we make an instant transition from the old life to the new life. Now, this goes back, and if you go back to chapter 3 in John, where Nicodemus comes up to Jesus, and he says, you know, what must I do? And he goes, you need to be born again. How many things people hear people say what they think that is? This is what he's saying. He said, no, you don't understand. You need to be born again. You believe in me, you go from the old life to the new life, you transcend the physical, and you become eternal with God. That's what he's saying. On this earth, you're a different person. You're a different person because you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And he makes you alive. And we know he comes to dwell in you. So it's a powerful, powerful verse, we think. An unbelievable promise that we should just walk in so much confidence. Just confidence in this world that God cares that much about us. Now, it says, we will never die. We will never die. How do we prove it? Okay, how do we, it's an honest question, how do we prove that we never die? At a funeral, I mean, how many times you've heard this? At a funeral, somebody dies, says, well, they're in a better place. How do you know? How do you know? I'm being honest. You know, I mean, it's like we say that like to get out of the conversation because we don't know what else to say, you know. Would you just get out of a conversation to tell somebody a bold-faced lie? Right? How do we know? Oh, they'll be in a better place. They'll be in a better place. We have something here that God helps us, and so that we can understand what happens in a funeral if there is even a better place. And what we have here in chapter 11, what we have here, Lazarus dies. He dies, and he stays dead for 4 days. So he dies in chapter 11. Lazarus dies. Now, for any of you who'd like to know, too, I always like these little tidbits. Lazarus is Mary and Martha's brother. You remember Mary and Martha, and you've won the account. My wife doesn't like this account. It says Mary is listening to Jesus. Martha's doing all the work. And then Martha goes, Jesus, I'm doing all the work. And Jesus says, Mary has chose the greater things. Now, why my wife is Martha and Mary, you know, and she would definitely want me to help. Okay, so it's like that. But anyway, so it's the same group of people here. So it's Lazarus, so it's Mary and Martha's brother. So Jesus knows these people very, very well. So here we have Lazarus dying. It's not an unknown person. Jesus knows fully well who he is. And we know there is life after physical death, because Jesus visibly shows us when he raises Lazarus from the dead. This is one reason we know this is a better place, because Jesus raises Lazarus. And that's for us to see. Jesus knew this. It's for us to see. See, this is for us. Now, Jesus proves that he is the great I am and the resurrection. So people say, hey, I am the resurrection. I am Jesus, you know. Well, Jesus like proves it. He proves it. Well, show me something. Now, they didn't say here. Actually, they do say stuff like that. Well, show me something. All right, the guy's been dead for a year. He says, get up. And he does. He goes, son of a gun. My goodness, you know. See, Jesus is proved who he was. He proved. Now, people chose not to believe, but he proved. And we look back in, what was it, chapter 9, there was a man born blind, and Jesus healed him. He could see. And people were like, gosh, this is different. This is different. So we see Jesus didn't just come here, oh, he's nice, and we believe in him, and da-da. No, he proved who he was. And you have to outright disregard the reality of what he did not to believe. You see what I'm saying? And so Jesus is real. He shows himself real, and he shows us his power, and he shows and confirms who he is. No one could do this. In fact, when he healed the man born blind, a lot of people didn't believe, but every one of them said, man, nobody ever done this before. Nobody's done this before. Some believe, some didn't, but they all knew, you know, what he did. So you have this same situation here. And so Jesus is told that Lazarus has died. Now, so the resurrection, you know, is a real thing. And Jesus says, I am a resurrection. I am the resurrection. I mean, what if I came up and told you, I am the resurrection? You know, if you had any sense, you would leave. You know, or or give me a good talking to or something. That's ridiculous. See, well, Jesus did it. He goes, I am the resurrection. He said it. He goes, I am it. But what he does, you know what happened? Lazarus proves it. He said it. I am the resurrection. But Lazarus proves it. And that's what we have to deal with. He said it. But my goodness gracious, Lazarus proves it. So you have this account here. So in, have an overhead here. So read what it says in John 11:14. It says, then Jesus told them plainly, Lazarus has died. And for your sake, I am glad I was not there so that you may believe. Now, how many of you read the Bible and Jesus says stuff and you just don't get it? What? He said, no, there's a reason. There's a bigger reason. And I need to communicate that bigger reason. And I'm going to do something. And it's without question, it's going to prove what I have to say. So, what we have here, he says he does this so you may believe. Wait a minute. Lazarus is dead. His sisters are bawling their eyes out. And Jesus, I did this. This happened. I'm not there. So that you may believe. Why would he do that? You know why he does it? Because of us. Because we don't believe. And he says, then tell me how I did it with Lazarus. See, he's putting something on our plate. He said, listen. So that's the reason he does this. He's communicating who he is, proving who he is. So Lazarus proves the point here. Now, after Jesus was told his friend Lazarus had died, he waited 2 days before going to see Lazarus's grieving sisters. Hey, Lazarus, he waits 2 days. He doesn't go. Not only that, Jesus tells his disciples that he was glad he was not there when Lazarus died. Not going, glad I wasn't there. Now, taken by itself, you're going, come on, Jesus, show a little empathy here. You like that? But no, but he's showing us something here. Jesus, and this is a huge lesson, Jesus considered this an opportunity where he would demonstrate his oneness with the Father. He would confirm him as himself as the Son of God, and he would also further challenge and confirm the faith of Mary, Martha, and the disciples. You see what's happening here? All right? It's like, wait a minute, this is way bigger than the event. This is all about showing that Jesus is the Christ. This is all about that Mary and Martha will get, Mary and Martha know Jesus, but that Mary and Martha will understand the depths of who I am. They need to see this. And his disciples, they need to come and they need to see this. They need to understand who I am and me doing something that they're going to see me and they're going to be witnesses for me because they'll know who I am, Jesus the Christ. You know what happened with Fran? She won't mind me sharing this, I think, or putting my take on it. Sweet girl, raised in a good Christian home. Okay? She shared, had a baby out of wedlock. Everything went upside down. Her mom and dad. Everything went upside down. All her plans, all she wanted to do, and you know, I know some of the details, went upside down. All right? Why? Why could God even let this happen? Now, God wouldn't respond, but why could he even let this happen? Why? It's no sense. Except that she'd stand up here in front of you and give God the glory for everything that happened and how her life changed. And anybody knows her has a powerful walk with Christ, feeds into your children every single week, has unbelievable insight, because she came out of that. But that had to happen for her to come out of that. See? In fact, Greg's song, she come, you know, bring glory out of ashes. You know, make garden out of graves. See? Well, to make a garden out of grave, you need a grave. You know? To make something out of ashes, you have to have ashes. See, we don't like that part of the story. We don't like that. I just want the joy of Jesus. You know, like that. That's what I've always, I just want the joy of Jesus. You know, and it's, the Lord goes, yeah, I'd like to have it too. You know, you need some work. You know. And each time a difficult situation, you have an option. It comes at you and you can quit. Or you can go. Every single time. I mean, Fran's life could have taken unbelievable turns if she let that eat her up. But you use that, and that's her testimony. That's her story that made her the person she is. Well, we're all the same. We're all the same. Our difficulties have made us to people who we are because we overcome. We stay, and we overcome through Jesus. Jesus goes, Mary, you know, Martha, I am the resurrection. See? And they go, okay. And I'm going to prove it. And I'm going to prove it. And how he's going to prove it, he's going to prove it by something he does with us. If we hold on to that, it's something he'll do with us. And he'll change us, and we'll learn to depend on him no matter what. You see what I'm saying? So this is a principle. When you see it all through Scripture. But this is what's happening here with, in this situation with Jesus and Mary. So we have this situation. And when we see that Jesus is using this to challenge and confirm Mary and Martha, okay, we now see it played out. Now it's played out for us, okay? We see it played out when Martha ran to see Jesus as he's coming in. Martha runs to see Jesus, and she says, the first thing she says to Jesus is this, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. How many times have we said that? How many times have we said that? Jesus, why didn't you do something? Why did you let this happen? Jesus, why? You know, we run to him and say, where were you? Now, where were you? Then Jesus told her, his answer to her is this. Then Jesus told her that he was the resurrection. Where were you? He would die. He goes, I am the resurrection. You run to Jesus with your problem, he goes, I am the resurrection. You're not going to answer it. You're not going to get it fixed because I am the resurrection. And that's what he told her. I mean, that's his answer. Jesus, if you'd been here, you wouldn't die. He goes, I am the resurrection. Then he says this, do you believe this? What was the point of the whole thing? That was the point. He goes, I am the resurrection. Do you believe this? See, he's going to show her. She doesn't believe this. Not the depths of it. She hears the words. But this is what she says when he says it in, I don't have an overhead, but she says this in chapter 11, verse 27. She said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world. Can you see her saying that? Where were you? I am the resurrection. You believe this? And he says, through tears, and yes, I believe. How many times have you been on your knees just crying about something? And say, dear Jesus, yes, I believe you're the one who's coming. I believe. You see? The principle is there. And Jesus is letting it work itself out like that. He's not letting anybody take any shortcuts. Oh man, watch this. I'll snap my fingers. Oh, good. It's not what happened. Because he didn't want it to happen. See, She was affirming Jesus' central role in bringing about the resurrection. She said, I know that, you know, on the last day that there will be a resurrection. And she adds, yes, I believe you're the Christ and the Son of God, the one through whom the Father has sent. She's saying the words, you know, and I bet it's hard. I bet it's hard. She's saying the words, but she's saying the words. I know what you said. Saying the words. Now, so we got this. Now Martha's sister. Now Martha's sister, she runs out to see Jesus. So Jesus is walking up. So Martha ran out. And so Mary's still in the house. So Mary, now she runs out. Mary runs out. And guess what she says? Guess what Mary says? She goes, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. They said exactly the same thing. Jesus, Martha said it, and Mary, word for word, if you would have been here, he wouldn't have died. He wouldn't have died. And so you see the context of what's happening. The context of what's happening here. Now look at what Jesus says. Look at what Jesus says, which is really kind of fascinating. Or what he did, says in verse 11, 33, don't have an overhead, says, when Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come with her, see, there's a mess of people here. He's died and has affected a lot of people. When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in his spirit and greatly troubled. Greatly troubled. Some people I've heard, footnote, this irritates me. Some people say, well, he was irritated because they were grieving. No, he was not, okay? He was not. He was deeply moved in spirit and greatly troubled because they were hurting. He hurt with them. He grieved with them, see? And he said, where have you laid him? And they said to him, Lord, come and see. Now, when Mary comes and she's rushing up to him. And it's good to see the picture, some of this, you know, what the emotion that's in this. When Mary appeared, when Mary rushed up to him and appeared, she was crushed with sorrow. She's just crushed when she came to Jesus. My brother's dead. Why weren't you here? You know, and all the grieving mourners are with her with the same grief about that. And Jesus was moved to deep emotion for the people. He's moved. He's hurt for them. He was impacted by the prevailing mood of sorrow. Jesus had been a beloved friend, and Jesus shared the common feeling of grief over his death. Here's the important thing to know. When you see grief, you know, people coming with the grief. He feels that pain. Do you care? Do you know I'm hurting? Do you know how bad this is? And he hurts and he feels that pain. And this is so important when you talk to anybody going through pain. Oh, God loves you. Don't hear that. Don't do that. Oh, all this works for, don't say that. You know, it's just like scratching your fingernails on a chalkboard. Don't do it, all right? Jesus, they're hurting, and Jesus is hurting because they're hurting. And you need to embrace that and hurt with them. I know you hurt. God's hurting. Here with you. Is there anything I can do? See, that's comforting. That's comforting. You see what I'm saying? And because you ought to hurt because Jesus is hurting. Jesus is hurting. And so he is sharing, and what we see here, Jesus, in this grief, is sharing with the grief of the people. You see that? Jesus felt their pain, and he feels our pain and sorrow. He hurts with us. He hurts with us. Thus, the next verse, the shortest verse in the Bible, that expresses all of Jesus' feelings. Have an overhead for this one. Good memory verse. John 11:35. Jesus wept. He wept. Says it all. That says it all right there. Jesus wept. Jesus wept. It is the shortest verse in the Bible, and I think it reveals Jesus' heart. You're not alone. You're hurt. Nobody cares. Jesus cares. You're hurt. He hurts with you. He hurts. He knows you're hurt. He hurts with you. What this means is that Jesus was overcome by emotion, and he gave way to weeping. Okay? The whole picture. One translation, it reads just like this, and it says, Jesus burst into tears. Jesus burst into tears. His grief was real and spontaneous. Jesus hurts when we hurt. He just burst into tears with us. He hurts with us. We're not alone. We're not by ourselves. And he is in every hurt that we have. In every hurt that we have. God, you don't know how I feel. Where are you? I know how you feel. I know how you feel. I hurt with you. See? So no one in the world understands, but I understand. I hurt with you. Now Jesus does something that only Jesus can do. All right? Jesus does something that only he can do. And I'll read this to you from the NIV. Starts in chapter 11, verse 38. Jesus, once more, deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. Take away the stone, he said. But Lord, said Martha, the sister of the dead man, by this time there is a bad odor. He's been dead so long, there's a bad odor. For he has been there 4 days. Then Jesus said, did I not tell you, if you believe that I am the resurrection, you will see the glory of God. So they took away the stone. And Jesus looked up and said to the Father. Now, this is so interesting. Jesus looked up and said to the Father, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me. But I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me. Why is Lazarus in the tomb? Let's just kind of back up based on this. Why did he say out loud to the Father? So the people would see, so they could believe. I'm talking to you so they can hear me talking to you. And that so they will believe that you sent me. Lazarus was to prove the resurrection. To prove the resurrection by Lazarus, Lazarus has to die. Let me show you this live person. And he's going to pretend to be dead. And I'm going to say, get up. And say, see, that's the resurrection. And we'll have a clap. That's the Sunday school play. Right? No, he died. Because it's real life and death stuff. He died. He was dead. His sister said, he's been there as long as stinks. You know? He said, no, this is the right time. This is the right time. That you will see. What did he go? That I am the resurrection, because he will come to life. Just like one day you also come to life. See, he's doing it for them. He said at the beginning, when he died, I'm glad I wasn't there. But Martha and Mary are crying their eyes out. I know, but I've got something I've got to do to cover the bigger purpose. Cover the bigger purpose. Friend, God, how can I ever get out of this? What can I do? How can I move away from this? This is destroying my whole life. No, it's not. I got a bigger purpose. I got a bigger purpose. See? And that's where we are. He has a bigger purpose in that. But it hurts. He's not here and I'm hurting. No, I'm not coming now because I got a bigger purpose. See what he's doing? And it's all through, by the way, it's all through Scripture. Scripture starts making a lot of sense. A lot of sense. Now, It's funny, I had one of these thoughts. I had two thoughts. I had this thought coming to you, and then I had this thought that Linda told me one time. She says, you don't have to say everything you're thinking. So I'm going to skip that thought. And so you see this, what's happening here. He said, I'm doing this for the benefit of the people, that you'll believe God and that God has sent me. Jesus has proven himself is Jesus. Why would I believe in the Lord Jesus? Because of what he did. Now, God spoke, we know in the Bible, God spoke and created the world. And likewise, he spoke and created the world. Likewise, Jesus speaks and raises the dead. How does he speak? How does he do that? He spoke and he created the world. Well, how does he do that? But he also speaks and raises the dead. That's what God does. See, and he's showing us, see, y'all don't know, and I'm trying to show you. This is not a Sunday school play. I'm trying to show you so you understand, you can grasp this and go and be the powerful men and women of God I intended you to be. Now, have an overhead for this one, John 11:43. When Jesus said this, he called out in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. Lazarus, come out. He just, you know, he came out and he says his hands and feet are wrapped in strips of linen and cloth is on his face. And Jesus said, go take off the grave clothes and let him go. And that's funny. I always thought it was funny. Jesus didn't take off the grave clothes. He goes, you take the grave clothes off, okay? You learn a few things there. Take them off. He's just fine. He comes out walking. Now, I think it's also really interesting as you look at this, is that Jesus cried in a loud voice, so everybody's there. I mean, he could have gone up, oh, dear God, praying. But he's like, everybody, Lazarus, come out. And notice that Jesus called Lazarus by name. Why couldn't he come out? I mean, they had nobody else in there with him, you know? I mean, it's come out. But he called him by name. And I thought, you know, if Jesus had not have called him by name, every dead body in the world would have been raised. Come out. Oh, my God, I didn't mean all of them. Lazarus, come out. I'm serious. I'm dead serious. You know, you need to be specific. He's specific. Lazarus, come out. He didn't say come out because they all would have come out. Right? Yeah. The thing of it is, Jesus will call us by name. Us. He's going to, hey, come out, everybody, and you too, Greg. No, he's not going to. He's going to call us all out by name. See? This is the reality of the Christian life. This is the reality of who Jesus is. This is the reality of what he's teaching Martha, what he's teaching Mary, what he's teaching his disciples. Now remember, Martha and Mary, the disciples, have been with him all this time and seen him do all sorts of things, and they've really kind of bought into the program. But he goes, you're not there. You're not there. I got to take you deeper, deeper. Friend, you're in a bad situation here. You love the Lord, but you're going to have to go deeper to be who you need to be. Is that right? You got to go deeper, you know. To make a garden out of grave, to make a garden out of the grave, you need a grave. Some of you think, well, Liz, you could have gone all day and not said that. Holy tamale. But that's the truth of it. What is God's purpose? He said, the purpose, I'm doing this whole thing so they will see, so they will understand. And then you're going to have two groups of people. Those who see and believe, and those who see and will not believe. And the ones who see, in the last day he'll call out by name. And the ones that will not accept it, he just won't say nothing. He'll leave them there. I mean, kind of a paraphrase, but it's the same thing. Now, so when you look at this, Jesus did this to prove the resurrection. Okay, he's proven the resurrection. Remember how he opens this stuff up. I am the resurrection. And all the people, get out of here. Get out of here. But at the end of this, he goes, I am the resurrection. I am. See, Jesus did this to prove the resurrection so that we who believe, that we who believe will truly know there is a better place. At some funerals, we can truly know there is a better place. Other places, we don't want to say that. We want to be kind and loving and walk with people. But don't tell them there's a better place when there's not, and when you know there's not. I mean that's just the truth. That's just the truth. There's two groups of people. Two groups of people. Those who believe and those who don't. That's it. There's only two groups of people that God cares about. And at the end, he'll call us by name. And the others he won't mention. He won't mention. That's reality. That's the reality of the whole thing. And I just add this footnote. The misery you're going through, the difficult you're going through, you know, God is building a message in you. God is building a message. I've actually had this prayer. I think God has a sense of humor because he hasn't struck me with lightning. I pray. I like, God, work on someone else. You know, I mean, I'm good where I am. I really am. I mean, just, you know, and I used to have the friend of mine. I said, you know, I'm just good just kind of to slither in the back door. I'm happy, you know. I'm good, you know. And usually, oh, by the way, I'll warn you, usually when I say something like that, I'll say 100%, not usually, 100% of the time, when I say something like that, whatever I'm going through gets worse. Gets worse. Yeah, so now you need more work. You go, grow. Grow. Say that again, it's going to get worse because you need to grow more. Now that's just me personally. Just me personally. So, God has an interesting impact. Now, so, but we need, when so we look at Lazarus, we look at Lazarus, and again, people have asked, Lazarus, the reason for Lazarus, put the two things together, Lazarus and this thing. Jesus said, I am the resurrection. And we have the picture of Lazarus. There it is. Okay, that's chapter 11. I mean, all the rest of it, that's what feeds into it. But see, but after Lazarus, see, there's going to be another dead man resurrected. After Lazarus, there's going to be another dead man resurrected that will guarantee us a place, a better place in our resurrection. And that man is Jesus. Jesus died in the tomb 3 days. He's a dead man. He's a dead man. And he was resurrected. He's proof. Lazarus and Jesus are proof. And we don't need to be like Thomas. Thomas. And people always say doubting Thomas because, you know, people don't even know Jesus. No doubting Thomas. Because Jesus was resurrected. Disciples, they appeared to disciples. And they tell Thomas, oh my goodness, Thomas, we have seen the Lord. We have seen the Lord. And Thomas goes, well, here's the verse says in chapter 20, verse 25. The other disciples told Thomas, we have seen the Lord. But he said to them, unless I see his hands, the mark of the nails, and place my fingers into the mark of the nails, and place my hands in the hole in his side, I will never believe. Thomas saw Lazarus resurrected. Thomas was there when Lazarus was resurrected. He says, Jesus, hey, there ain't no way. I saw that. They can't. It's not happening. It's not happening. See, he saw Lazarus. It's not happening. I'm the resurrection. Look what I did. No. No. Well, what we see is we see that Jesus appears to Thomas among all the disciples. So Jesus appears to him, and he says this. So you have the other disciples witnessing this. They see it. Jesus appears to Thomas, and he says this, "Thomas, put your finger here and see my hands. Put your fingers in the hole. Put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." See, how could people not believe when Lazarus was risen? Thomas didn't. He was just saying, he didn't believe. I don't believe this. Jesus arrived. Didn't happen. And Jesus appears to him. "You want to put your hand in the holes of my hand? Here. Put your hand in the hole of my side. Here." You know. Now, I didn't record here, but Thomas had a good reply. He goes, "Oh, my Lord, oh, my God." You know, "Oh, okay, I got," you know, it took a little more for Thomas, but he got there. He got there. Thomas went, "Oh, my Lord, oh, my God." And I don't think he said nothing after that. He just, okay. Now, so what you have here, Jesus, here's the point. You know, you read scripture and you, "Oh, it's a nice story. We do a Sunday school play." But no, these are messages to us to live this life, you know. And so Jesus was telling Thomas and us, there is a better place. There is a better place. Truth is, mankind is lost. It's lost before Jesus. It's lost. Mankind is lost, doomed to hell. Man, just picture, mankind is lost, doomed to hell, and Jesus weeps. What did you think I was going to say? What did you think I was going to say? "Oh, repent, you're going to hell." No, they're going to hell anyway. I mean, that's a done deal. Jesus weeps. Jesus weeps. See? They're lost and going to hell. And Jesus weeps. He hurts. He has feelings. He a creator. He weeps. He weeps. But, therefore, because Jesus weeps, God weeps. Therefore, God did something about it. God did something about it. Now, won't you look at this verse? We know it well, but won't you look at this? John 3:16-17. Jesus weeps. "And God so loved the world, he gave." World's lost, going to hell. Jesus weeps. "God so loved the world, he gave his son." See, has connected the emotion tied to this. Weeps. There's emotion crying over the world. "God so loved the world that he gave," and I skipped some, "for God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." That's why Jesus came. The world is gone. See, God gave his Son so it wouldn't be condemned. You see that? The emotion. He weeps. He doesn't want this to happen. But there's some, I don't care what you show them, to see Lazarus, no. Yes. The ones that say yes, he calls them by name. The ones that say no, fine, you get what you want. And you got some like Thomas, and he goes, that's a good deal, but I'm not buying into it. Hey, Jesus, And then Jesus, "Put your hands in the holes of my hand. Oh, my Lord, my God." You know, he went into the yes crowd right then. See, but you know where Thomas was? Nobody knew it. He was in the no crowd. Thomas is in the no crowd. Because when he told him about Jesus, he goes, then he went to the yes crowd. And so, Jesus, I mean, it's nice being in the yes crowd. God, Wallace, whoa, I'm just glad to be there. I'm just glad he said my name. And I believe on him because he's the resurrection. Jesus did not come to the world. Jesus did not come to condemn the world. He came to save the world. We will go to a better place because Jesus is the resurrection. Brothers and sisters, there are two groups of people. How many of you, I hope you don't watch television. Okay, I watch television. It totally depresses me. all the time. You know, I don't know why. And you hear, you know, people trying to divide us up in all sorts of groups, and this and clues and next clues. I don't even know what they're talking about. They say terms I can't even keep up with them. You know, that and computers. I mean, it's just like, I don't know. But the Bible is really simple. There's two groups of people. There's two. God looks down and God says, there's two groups of people. Those that believe, those that don't. That's it. That is it. Okay? So, Jesus is saying, be in the believe group. Just believe. Well, you got to believe I am the resurrection. I am the resurrection. And you know, I hurt when you hurt. Hurt when you hurt. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your love. And God, we look at this and, you know, you just didn't send a dead letters on a page or give us something to read and go, I am the resurrection. Believe Jesus is the resurrection. You didn't do that. You came here and lived on this earth as God. And you are the resurrection. And you proved yourself to be the resurrection. You resurrected Lazarus. And God resurrected you. And God promises to resurrect us. It's a promise. It's a promise. There is a better place. There is a better place. And while we're here, God hurts for us, and he will comfort us. And he will comfort us. And he will, and it says in the Bible, he will comfort us over those who've died before us because there is a better place. A better place. And so we have this. And in one way, it's just so simple. If Jesus was talking to me, it'd be like Jesus said, Wallace, please believe I'm the resurrection. Please believe I'm the resurrection. And you know what he's saying to you here, every single one of you? He's saying your name out loud, like Wallace. He's saying your name out loud, and he's going, please believe I am the resurrection. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness. Lord, this is overwhelming when you look at it, but you so love the world. You gave your only begotten Son that we should not perish. See, we're perishing already. You gave your only begotten Son, so we not perish. You didn't come in the world to condemn the world. You came in to save the world so that we just believe that you are the resurrection. God, we give thanks to you in all this in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Glad to have everybody here. And I said, Adam, being disobedient as he usually is, he's in music, he's gone someplace with his son to have a father-son thing. But anyway, I still think it's an act of disobedience. What the? All that to say, we don't have a closing song. All right. So if you please stand, there's refreshments in the back. Somebody you don't know, meet.